Well, as you've already heard me say, I wanted to facilitate a conversation amongst friends who I know each of them very well. And throughout our congregation, there are many people in discipling relationships, so I could open up a panel to many people in here. But these were six individuals in particular that I've seen a lot of growth over the last couple of years and seen them be pushed out of their comfort zones in ways that I didn't see that they were comfortable with, maybe in the first 6 months they were here. But if you could just introduce yourself and when you became a member of CCBC. So you can give a year, and if you want bonus points, the month too.
Michael Allhorn, Amber and I joined November of 2021.
Jackson Wing, and been here since the beginning. I'm bad with dates, so.
Alan Williams, September 2020.
Julie Boylston, September 20th, 2020.
Bonus points for the pastor.
Bobby Lester, September 20th, 2020.
And it's your birthday today.
Yay!
And Leslie Chain, September 2020.
All right, so share briefly, each of you. We'll start from here and then move that way, and we'll switch it up in a minute. Since you've become a member here, most of you from the very beginning, Michael, almost from the beginning. What has forming relationships, forming friendships, and going deeper in those relationships look like since day one to now? What does that kind of trajectory look like for you, Michael?
Yeah, so it's changed over the course of time. When I first joined here, I was a new believer, and I had experienced church. But the places that I'd been at church, I wouldn't have called those healthy churches. And so I had a lot of distrust as far as friendships go. I didn't really know who was a believer, who wasn't a believer. So on the front end, having membership matter here was really important to me to be able to establish some of those friendships. But I still had a lot of hesitancy and just reservations because I didn't know the people, and were they really true to what they said, or was it more or less lip service? Over the course of time, developing genuine relationships with people here, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But what you see is, for the vast majority, it's a true commitment to Christ, and it makes those relationships much easier to get into.
And for you, Michael, you know, seeing that maybe at the very beginning, maybe there was there was no reluctance to join the church. You were thoughtful, informed. You asked me questions on the front end. But as you mentioned, yeah, I've come from churches that didn't really have meaningful membership. How can I know if I can trust these people? When did it really just kind of pull it in high gear for you? Because you're very connected to the body here. Widely known, involved in a ton of stuff. Was there a moment or an event or something that happened that just soared for you to go deeper with people, or was it just a slow, gradual thing over time?
No, it was. I would definitely say a large turning point was the biblical masculinity study that we did, and from there leading into the internship. Within the internship, really understanding the stewardship that God's given us and understanding more ecclesiology. So I had a really bad sense of ecclesiology before those teachings, and understanding what God's church was and understanding that stewardship really drove me toward being active and pursuing people. And the Lord changed my heart, honestly, because when we joined the church, our house was for sale. I was ready to move to Heavener, Oklahoma, 270 acres, and not see anybody because I thought the whole world was crazy. And so now he's taken that and he's done a 180, where I want to be intimately involved with every person that I can be.
It's good. Jackson?
I would say even from the very beginning, I was involved actually with a small group that Alan had started. And so from the very beginning of the church, I was always I was already sold that that was important in the life of a Christian, because I had already been influenced by Jansen and what he had done with me one-on-one. And so since the very beginning, it was being involved with Alan's group, Jansen one-on-one, and then Alan's group. And so that conviction was already there for me of the importance of it. and that Christians should be plugged in that way. And so then it was really from that point on being equipped so that I could equip others and then go on from there.
That's good. So.
I think for me, you know, coming from how this church came to be was a sense of wanting deep community, nothing superficial, really just a thought in my mind, I'm done with that. I just want to be deep and real. And so just the Lord opened some opportunity with some men to begin that from the start. And that's just been the course for me, thankfully.
Amen.
I've got a women's microphone.
So I have been extremely fortunate to have wonderful people model this for me, one of which being Blake, and also some other women in my life, which is both wonderful and really hard, because I've seen it done really well, but then that's also super intimidating, because I'm not Blake. It's kind of had to push me out of my comfort zone to be willing to jump in where maybe I don't feel like I'm as qualified as other people that I've seen do something before. So I don't even know if I'm answering your question, but yeah, we've lost the course of the question.
How has forming relationships in the life of our church, what does that trajectory look like? What does that look like from day one to today?
I'm super thankful for wonderful friendships that I've had since I've been here. And I do sense the going deep kind of from the beginning, people willing to jump in and get to know each other. And
Bobby, have more, something more profound to say?
Not really. Mine's pretty much like Julie. I don't just walk up to people and talk to people. That's uncomfortable for me. It's kind of intimidating for me to just walk up to somebody and get to know someone. So I think I had to just push myself the same way out of my comfort zone because I don't do that. So when you do that and you make those efforts to get out, knowing that that's your job, I mean, Titus tells us women and men, of course, but you get out and you tell people about Christ and you build those relationships and you disciple women. And I didn't want to do that, but I began to pray that the Lord would bring women to me, and he does that. So if you're going to pray that, be careful, because he's going to do that. So I had to get out of my comfort zone because it's not easy for me either.
Yeah. I think forming relationships has been awkward and has to be deliberate. Has for me, so I got to get you on my schedule. I have to make a point to talk to you, otherwise I'll just hide. So I'll try to encourage you. A lot of those introverts who claim to be introverts out there, like, it's not comfortable.
Raise your hand if you self-identify as a shy, hiding introvert.
Yeah.
Grant, raise your hand. There we go.
But all the relationships that I've formed, it's never just... It doesn't just happen. It's always scheduled and deliberate and a long process and sometimes weird, but it just keeps growing, you know.
All right, so amidst all the awkwardness, the weirdness, getting through all the comfort, now you're in the pool, you're swimming, you're trying to figure out this discipling stuff, going deeper together. You can try not to, you know, pick everything you've ever done, but what have those meetings or relationships looked like? Do you read something, discuss something? Do y'all hang out? Where does this happen? Just what is the centerpiece of this small group discipling relationships? Leslie, you want to start us off?
Most often it's walks during the daytime with one or two ladies. Those are some of my favorites. I feel like I can have deeper conversations when we're doing something instead of facing each other. So if we're just walking, we can have meaningful conversation. Other things are like when we have people over at our house, we deliberately always schedule that, and we like to sing together, and that's just a joy. I view it just as how we live our lives. So it happens when I get to cut little boys' hair. I get to talk with their parents every month. That's really fun. And then Bible study. So we'll have more like, those are all just meaningful conversation times. That's not anything I have to prep ahead of time for. And then the other one is me just Bible study with a few ladies that we've been doing for about a year now.
We have done coffee shops We have done different houses. We do the church. We come here and we meet together and do Bible studies here. So I think really it's where you are. You know, you can go into someone's home and do dishes with them if that's where they are. If they need, you know, they can't get out, they've got little children. So I think you just kind of have to meet them where they are and then schedule what you can. So we've kind of done all the above.
That's good.
I agree. Walks is a wonderful way to have great conversation and get some exercise. Playgrounds, a lot of you moms with young children, I cannot tell you how many edifying conversations I've had on a playground. While the kids are sort of playing and you can, I mean, literally, I'm picturing in my mind some of the most transformative conversations have been on a playground. So, yeah, deliberately planning those. Yeah, same book studies. I've done a lot of book studies, which can be really helpful.
For me, a little more formal, I guess you would say. Scheduled. Most of the meetings I've had have been on a Friday morning, 6 a.m., pretty much for the past 5 years. I think the only exception of that was the time I met with Marlon. Marlon came out to Lavaca to Pee Wee football practice, and we did a little book study on the sideline over there. So that was a very enjoyable time. But for the most time, I met with a group of men on Friday mornings here at the church.
That's good.
For me, formally, it would be Saturday mornings at 6:30, 30 minutes later. Jackson time, that's right. I'm never going to live that one down. Formally then, done, prayed for each other, tried to get to know one another, have a time to where we can just talk about what went on in our week, so that way we can apply the Bible to what's currently going on and not just talk about theories, but what do you need today? So opening up a time for that, usually going through some book, and then also reading through the sermon text and praying for whatever preacher is preaching that Sunday. So formally, that would be on Saturdays. Informally, I've gotten breakfast with a ton of men in the church and just being able to open up mornings to do stuff like that, and obviously hospitality. So with men, because we usually go to work early morning, and now currently the gym, trying to get as many guys to go to the gym and just sweat together, laugh together.
And freeze together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got to fix that heater. Yeah. But that's probably it.
So for me, the first formal discipleship I had was the internship. And so it was a man pouring into me, three other brothers, and then from there, I really wanted to give back, and so I kind of went fishing, picked a good book, and started casting lines out to see, you know, who wasn't in a group or who wasn't around, and found a group of guys to join with on that, and we've gone through a couple of books. I've also met with individuals based off of their needs. Kind of just have casual discussions and go from there to kind of see where they are, and then pick a book to lead us into the Bible and just to go over the scriptures and figure out what direction that can go. There's been plenty of small groups at the house, couples, and just coffee shop meetings as well.
One question that naturally comes up from this is, say someone's out here in the congregation. They are going, okay, yeah, I can identify with some of you. I'm right there, awkward, quiet, this is uncomfortable, I'm busy, come up with all this. But, okay, I think I should do this. Well, how do I know who to do this with? I mean, is it kind of like, Lord, send them to me, and then you open your eyes, the first person that says hello? Or do you go seek advice? Do you look in the membership directory and put your finger and go, them, you know? What has that looked like for you? Just giving people some ideas, because that can be kind of intimidating. How do we do? Do we walk around with a sign? Will you disciple me? Or do you want to be my friend? I mean, what do we do? So, Michael?
A little bit of all of the above.
Okay.
Reading
through. Signs in the lobby.
One of the things that I took away from the elders' meetings and staff meetings was going through the membership directory and praying through the membership directory. So if you pray through the membership directory, then you begin to reflect on people during the service, and you can look around and you can see who's on the fringes, who doesn't stay, who isn't really meeting and talking to a group of people. And you can identify that person as a target to go after, to say, hey, you know, I'm in covenant with this person, and that person doesn't seem to be in connection with anybody. Let me go talk to them. If you don't have luck in that direction, or you have something specific that you want to study, one of the groups that we're currently meeting with is Leadership and Emotional Sabotage. I thought about people who are in the same stage of life as me in that particular scenario, and then I ask for advice from the elders to say, are there other people who you would think would fit in and this book would be good for, because it's something that I need to go through.
So Michael kind of gives a both-end approach. It's look across the congregation. Who seems to be a little kind of aloof or by themselves, or I never see them in any of these events we do. And then also just maybe go to your under-shepherds to might have a inside track on how people are doing, may or may not. But, yeah, it's a good idea. Jackson?
Yeah, same thing Michael just said. When I started looking at it, I knew of another couple guys that were going to pursue other men, and so we didn't pursue the same ones. I talked and said, hey, let's get as many involved, as Blake pointed out earlier, to get as many people involved. So instead of just focusing on a few, you know, splitting up who we're actually talking to. So that took conversations with the elders. I've asked the elders before, hey, who's somebody that needs something? I have an opportunity. I need a slot filled, essentially, that I can use my schedule in this way. So is there somebody that y'all know of that specifically needs it? And then obviously in all of that is prayer, you know, praying, Lord, help me to see somebody that can benefit from this and that I can pour in and encourage and serve them. Again, this isn't for my benefit, but I'm seeking to serve as Christ has served me. So, yeah.
That's good. Alan?
Yeah, not much to add to what they've said other than just it is just praying, Lord, open my eyes to see, and it's observing as we're in our gatherings, observing those that you may see that may be a little more isolated, as they said, maybe on the fringe a little bit, but seeking to see those individuals and then just, you know, the way to do that is you go to them and just bring up that conversation and invite them in. So.
It's good.
I know I've been encouraged by people's humility to ask, so just an encouragement. The other thing that I found helpful is if there's been a particular way the Lord's used someone in your life. I'm thinking specifically for me when I was like a teenager and an adult woman took an interest in me. Like, that really meant a lot. And so thinking through, like, okay, can I do that? Is there a way that I can take an interest in teenage ladies that are growing up and spend some time with them? So for me, it was like recalling past experiences of what was helpful for me and thinking, can I replicate that in another way? The other thing that in the summertime we've done some book studies, and I think maybe Dominique or some, like, you throw out a topic. You're like, is anyone interested in this topic? And you would be surprised at how many people are like, yes, I struggle with that. I would love to read through a book or go through something together. So
I don't have much to add, but I will say just striking up conversations with different people around. Just go to them, ask them about their life, find out what's going on with them. With the tea, I will say with our tables, it was really interesting as we were around the tea and we're all discussing things. One would share something about their life, and then I put a little list on my phone of some ladies that were at my table with that tea because I heard some of their testimonies and I heard some of the ways that they were struggling. And I'm hoping that maybe after the new year we can put some things together, just, you know, even just little things like that, just kind of get into their life.
I've had to figure out my schedule, so I have to actually know what margin I have. I mean, like, really, when can I give and get to know somebody else, not sacrificing my own family? So first I have to know, like, my margin is daytime when my kids are at school. I'm not going to be gone in the evenings. So I look for people who might be available at that same time. I try to not stick just within people in my life stage. I can learn and then look at everybody, I got to take a CCEF course, and like what I took away from it was every single person that I come in contact with is actually really interesting, and I really want to get to know you. You have something very valuable that I learn a lot from. So I don't just want to stick within people in their mid-30s with school-age kids. I like to get to know older ladies and younger ladies. But it has to, I'm not going to sacrifice my family for the sake of everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's just, got to carve out your own margin and then stick to it and get them scheduled. But yeah.
I'm going to combine a few questions into one just so I keep track of time. I recently read a small journal that was put out by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary on leadership. The elders read it, and one quote that stood out to me, it's both for leaders, but anybody. This guy named Justin Irving says, character is shaped in community. Formation is not a solo endeavor. We need others. We need friends and fellow leaders who can ask honest questions, speak truth in love, and walk with us through both joy and hardship. Accountability, encouragement, and correction are all essential for growth. So I want to combine some questions into one to kind of wrap this part up. How has going deeper with other believers, one-to-one, groups, couples, whatever, how has that helped shape you into who you are today? So you can speak of something that's been hard or messy or mistakes you've made along the way that you've learned about yourself or just about the nature of getting to know people in those intimate ways. And then what's been a joy and encouragement, glad you obeyed Jesus kind of thing. So what have you learned along the way? Could be hard, could be messy. What's been joyful? How's it formed who you are today? Leslie, you want to start?
Well, all the ladies teach me so much, and I appreciate when they teach me about myself, and they're very kind to tell me if I'm rude or if I'm too hard on myself. It takes time to get to that point of a relationship, but it's worth getting to that point. Yeah.
Great.
I have a very dear friend that's very honest with me. In fact, kind of blunt with me. If you look back there at the soundboard, she's right there.
Yeah, this, you're modeling what I was going for here. Just clear direction here.
Yeah, if I go to her with something, but we started, you know, a couple years back with, will you disciple me? And so I told her, I've not done this before. I'm cutting my teeth on you. So we just have built such a good relationship over those years of just constantly meeting that she will shoot me straight every time. So I need that, and I want that. So
that's good.
She'll also ask you really convicting questions like what you're reading lately, and if you're not reading anything, it's super convicting. So anyway, thanks, Amber.
If anyone needs to be challenged in their life,
the back lady there.
They are a lady. She's available.
No, I would just say it's such a pressure release valve in life when you just are honest. And I'll tell people, you don't have to be honest with everybody. Everybody doesn't need to know everything that you're struggling with. But I think it's important for some people to know what you're struggling with. And when you can be open and vulnerable with someone and you trust them in that way, I think the Lord can really use that friendship mutually. Like, I can leave feeling encouraged and challenged, and hopefully the Lord can use that in the future as a way that I can encourage and challenge somebody else. So,
that's good.
The question is,
how has going deeper with other men, whether one-to-one or in groups, how has that helped shape you, form you, both in the kind of the messy, hard, convicting, sanctifying aspect, what's been joyful, and you're so glad you did it and didn't stay on the fringe?
What's been good and shaping for me is just it's humbling to you're accountable when you're leading some other men there's an accountability factor that I need. I need that pressure and that push. But I've also been very humbled by being with these men and learning from them as God shapes them. It's always, you know, been a light into my own heart. And so I've been super encouraged by that. I've been very encouraged by men. The desire that entering into a group is for them to go and teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Go teach other faithful men. Encourage them in the faith. And so it's been a great joy. It's worth 6 a.m. on Friday mornings to go. And I've been so encouraged by how faithful these men are. Even though the week is tired, they're there week after week after week, no matter what. That's been such a joy for me, building endurance in each other in the faith. That's what has been, it keeps me going. That's what I in my own weeks, leading family and working, coming to Friday is refreshing, to be with these brothers and pray together, be transparent with each other. That's something that it's hard for men, where we build some big walls around ourselves, but getting intimate with some other guys, just saying, hey, I'm struggling with this, and praying for them, speaking biblical truth into them, super encouraging.
I'd say how it's helped my character would be it helps me to look out and not look in. So being honest with other brothers, we have a tendency to look at ourselves and go, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. And then you meet with a group of guys and, oh, wait, no, he's struggling with this too. And, oh, he's struggling in a different way. And we're able to look and encourage each other in those ways. So as it has helped form me is to be more outward focused and less inward focused, and taught me what a blessing that is. That too many times we just stare at ourselves so much that's half of the anxiety and that's half of the depression and sadness comes from that. So I'd say that's a way that it's helped form me in the honesty there. And then a joy has been watching God answer prayers in other brothers' lives. There's so many. I could go through the men that I've met with and tangible things that we've prayed for, tangible hardships that not all the church knows. We sat and we prayed and it's just a joy to be able to do that with other brothers together. So that's been a huge encouragement to me.
Christ has used discipleship to change my life completely. Amber will tell you sitting back there that you know, he's used this process for men to pour into me and then me to have that opportunity to be with other brothers in Christ, to change the character of who I am. And it has been such a joy in so many ways. I could talk to you about it for hours. From the standpoint of selfishness, you know, I know the word so much better. I have other people who sit around and go through a book with me and bounce principles off, bounce off the word, look at what our church is doing. There's prayer concerns where we pray. There's theology where we talk about God. There's individuals who have had needs and gone through books and recognized those needs in the Bible. It has been such a joy for me to have this connection with this group of brothers here that I wouldn't hesitate to call any of them if I had a time of need, because I know them and I know that they would be there for me, because it is a deep connection. And you don't get that come to church just once a week and not living life on life together. You know, Matthew 28:19-20 says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the part after that is teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And you can't do that in the context of 2 hours a week. And you can't do and get to those messy things without one-on-one attention and love and openness and just growing together. And it will change you so much more to be in those relationships, because you'll see parts of you that you didn't understand, both good parts and bad parts. You'll see areas to be sharpened, but you'll also see areas that you didn't know was a strength in your life. Mm-hmm. So it's beneficial for you, and it's also beneficial for everyone who's partaking in it.
That's good. I would just say, just for my own life, getting, you know, I was extremely shy, very introverted. So anyone that gives those kind of excuses, like, I used to make them all. And so I'm very sympathetic, but I'm also going to challenge and push you if you give me that card. Because I've seen God change my life. Here I am, a pastor. I mean, I would have been terrified sitting in this where Noah's at right now if you told me I was going to be a pastor. What I have found going deeper with others is that, as J.C. Ryle says, friendships halves our sorrows and doubles our joys. It is miserable trying to live this life by yourself. And it's selfish as well. And man, what an amazing opportunity to get to know other believers to increase your joys and cut your sorrows in half. And the Lord has given the gift of the local church. He has given marriage. He's given his family. Not taking anything away from the biological family. That is crucial. That's important. The family existed before the church. So I'm not taking anything from that. But Jesus did say in the Gospels, you know, Jesus didn't know your mother and your brothers and sisters are out there looking for you. And he says, who are my mother and who are my brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God. And so even Jesus himself is not doing away with the biological family, but he's redefining what the family of God is. It's not by ethnicity or by blood. It's by those who share the Holy Spirit. And so I hope tonight that you are challenged, both encouraged. If you're already in these relationships, you could have easily been up here as well. But follow up with these brothers and sisters and encourage them. Ask them questions. If you're thinking, man, I want to be more connected than I am, come talk to me. I'm happy to see where you're at. But as several of them said, it starts with prayer. Lord, would you put the people in my life that you want me to go deeper with? I'm not a matchmaker for friends. I'm not good at that. So I can get us all in the same room, but I can't do anything beyond that. So prayer is going to be a big part of that. So if you have any questions, follow up with them. I hope you're encouraged. Thank you all for being willing to do this. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we do pray this conversation on discipling and relationships and community would not be a flash in the pan, but it would be the normal culture and expectation of our church. Thank you for each of these men and women who you have used to be a blessing to others. And many out in the congregation, even tonight, have been a blessing to them. Lord, we pray that each man and each woman in this church, and even our teenagers and young students, that everyone would be connected in some meaningful way to another man or woman in an appropriate, God-honoring, edifying relationship. Lord, we pray that tonight you would use this conversation to spur those on. In Jesus' name, amen.